Her name, Anne Lamott, L-A-M-O-T-T. The book, Grace Eventually, Thoughts on Faith. She says she's a Christian. She says she's a liberal. It is a New York Times best-selling book. She has written previously Plan B and Traveling Mercies. But Thoughts on Faith has 23 essays of her popular themes. And we're going to take a look at the one that is titled The Born. Obviously, as you will see, she is pro-choice. But in order to help us understand and maybe dialogue with those who are pro-choice, we need to understand from where they are coming. And that's the subject for today's Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, February the 13th. I'm Tom Baker, the day before Valentine's Day, here on AM 850 KFUO, Inspirational Christian Radio. Numbers are 505-7850 and toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Don't know if you've been listening to the political debates going on in regard to the presidential candidates. There's one thing that happens all the time, and I've never really understood it. Candidate A will attack candidate B. And candidate B will immediately say, that's not what I really said, or that's not what I really believe. Now, I blame, therefore, candidate A. Now, it could be candidate B is just lying, but then the evidence would show that. But in true dialogue, when you accuse someone of something, I always try and accuse them for that which they will agree with. For example, Muslims, let's use a Christian example. Southern Baptists do not baptize infants. I could start an hour about that saying, I'm now going to show you why those who belong to the Southern Baptist Convention really hate little babies. I could start that way. And I could say, see, they do not baptize infants as God commands, so they must hate little children. Now, imagine I'm talking to a Southern Baptist audience when I say that. What do you think they're going to do? Probably walk out on me, and rightly so. Because what I have charged them with is something with which they do not agree. Now let me charge them with what they would agree with. Southern Baptists believe in the Scriptures in such a way that they do not believe in the doctrine of infant baptism. Now, that's just as strong a charge from my point of view, but it's one now in which the Southern Baptist individuals say that that's correct. Well, what I have stayed away from is judging their motivation and also concluding, therefore, that they hate children because they won't baptize them. You see, that's true about the pro-abortion movement also. Obviously, we could say, well, those who are pro-choice, they hate little children in the womb. They want to get rid of them. You see, they would disagree with you on that. They don't feel any hatred towards what is in the womb because what is in the womb from their point of view isn't even real as a human being. It's just a mass of tissue. Now, as you know, I said I was going to talk about this today. And surprisingly, as I was coming in, I was listening to Fox News, and there's O'Reilly, being a Roman Catholic, at least in this area, he's very good, speaking very strongly about the pro-life position. and just saying it's ridiculous to think that God on Judgment Day is going to say, that's right, it wasn't a human being until 5 months in the womb. But of course, that wouldn't even matter, he says, because people are killing babies 2 days before their birth. See, he's talking from a commonsensical point of view. Well, what he has kind of forgotten, although I do agree with him from my point of view, but from the point of view of the woman having the abortion, she's been told by pastors that until the baby breathes air, it isn't really a person. It's still a part of your body, and you can do with it whatever you want. Now, there are some women who actually kill newborn babies. We had that terrible incident where, the woman had 3 children and drove her or pushed her car into the lake and they drowned. So there's no doubt. But if you said to her, even at that point, you have such hatred towards those children. In fact, her defense was that she didn't want them being brought up in a world where they could maybe go to hell by losing their faith or whatever. Whatever the reason was, it certainly wasn't the reason we thought was her motivation. Now, did she do wrong? Absolutely. It's kind of in the area of arguing I'm talking about right now. And what I'm trying to say here is that when you argue with someone, try and keep it on a level where the person with whom you are arguing agrees with you when you attack them. Like if somebody attacked me and said, oh, you Lutheran pastor, you actually believe that when you receive that bread and wine up at the altar, you're actually receiving God's body and blood. And I say, yes, that's correct. See, that's a valid statement. I don't think it's a criticism of me because I think God's in agreement with that so-called attack. That's correct. He believes it is his son's body and blood. There are many ways that you can argue against abortion. And the best way to do it is to turn right back on people what they really are saying. But before we do that, what we need to do is take a look at the born. Now, somebody has phoned in and given us kind of a good analogy here. Women who say, well, it's my body, I can do with it whatever I want. Which, by the way, isn't true. You can't commit suicide. You can't sell body parts on the open market. There's lots of things you can't do with your own body. But the caller says it's like saying somebody runs down someone and they say, well, I was in my car and I can do with it what I want. Now, just because it's your car doesn't mean that you are not to be thinking about the others, especially if you have others in the car. So a woman is driving a car with 2 children in it, and she decides that she wants to commit suicide, and so she goes as fast as she can and hits a bridge abutment, and the 2 children die also. Are we going to say she had the right to do what she did because they were in her car? Of course not. Good analogy. Appreciate that from a caller. The title of the item is The Born. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We simply don't have enough, although it is only about 5 pages long, in this book. That's approximately 250 pages long. As I said, it's one of 28 essays. But she talks about that she was on a panel, and the subject was politics and faith. I was on stage with 2 clergymen with progressive spiritual leanings. I'm getting a little tired of the word progressive because all it really means is they're really, really liberal. And when you talk about being liberal, I'm not talking about politics liberal. I'm talking about theological liberalism, which simply leaves the way open as to whether or not any part of Scripture is actually true. That's what is meant by a theological liberal. They can doubt what the Scriptures clearly say. And I know of what I am speaking of because in my seminary experience, I had professors who did not believe that Jesus walked on water, who did not believe that he cured a man of having demons in him, of demonology. Did not believe that his body was not still in the grave. They thought it could still be in the grave. And, of course, they were using a judgment outside of the Scripture to judge the Scripture, namely man's own reason. That's falling into great disfavor, except for television shows that and movies that give the idea that Jesus married Mary Magdalene and all this nonsense. But unfortunately, people, if they see it on television or see it in a movie, they think it's true. And so we still have a lot of work to go in offsetting those wrong views as to what the Bible actually teaches. But anyway, she was on stage. She had two clergymen who were very liberal in their spiritual leanings. And the moderator was Roman Catholic, but also very liberal. There were about 1,300 people in Washington, D.C., and many of the social justice topics of which they were talking about, they all had agreement on. They were discussing the immorality of the federal budget from their point of view and the president's war in Iraq, which they thought was wrong. And then an older man put up his hand, came to the mic, and raised the issue of abortion. And she says, people just lost their minds. Or at any rate, I did. Now, we're going to see a little later on that people did not lose their minds. She was the one who lost her mind. And she explains, maybe it was the way in which the man couched his question was about how we should reconcile our progressive stance on peace and justice with the murder of a million babies every year in America. Now, she says the man who asked the question was soft-spoken, neatly and casually dressed. And the first one to respond to him was Richard, a Franciscan priest. So that means he's Roman Catholic. And did the typical kind of liberal nonsense. Oh, this is indeed a painful issue, but that it was not the only pro-life matter with which progressives, including Catholics, should concern themselves during elections. There's the pro-life matters of capital punishment. Now, obviously, this guy would be against capital punishment, even though, according to Romans 13, God does permit it. So here you have a Roman Catholic priest who is saying there's something more important than abortion, and that is capital punishment. We should be against it. Now, this is amazing to me, the way the devil can really mess up people's minds. This is a so-called Roman Catholic priest who poo-poos the idea of abortion as though we can have an open question on it, but on something that God has closed, he wants an open question on it. And he calls himself a Roman Catholic priest? He also talks about other pro-life matters of the war in Iraq. Well, you can be fighting the war from a pro-life position, or you can hoping that the soldiers all will come home from a pro-life position. Fighting the war in Iraq has absolutely nothing to do with pro-life. It has everything to do with whether you think the war is just or unjust. If it's an unjust war, then yes, that there's life being spent inappropriately. If it's a just war, well, war is war. And he talked about poverty and HIV. These are the typical kinds of things that ministers or priests of the Christian church begin to talk about when they decide that God's word is no longer viable. Now, of course, he wouldn't agree with me what I just said. He thinks God's word is viable. He just thinks that these issues are more important than abortion, which is just a hidden way of saying that he doesn't think abortion is wrong. You also had not only a very liberal Roman Catholic priest, you had a very liberal minister who was a Protestant. And he just talked about the need to reduce the number of unwanted pregnancies and the need to defuse abortion as a political issue by welcoming pro-choice and pro-life supporters to the discussion with equal respect for their positions. Now, am I the only one who is thinking this way, that when somebody says, I respect what you have to say, doesn't that mean what he just meant, that means you have the right to that position? I just haven't understood this in today's parlance. Maybe all that they're really saying is when they say, I respect You see, it's one thing to respect the right of somebody to ask a question or to take a position. In the United States of America, at this point, you can be pro-abortion or anti-abortion. You can be a racist or you can be an anti-racist. I mean, you have the right to have all these positions. So it's one thing to say, I respect your right to take the position, but it's quite another thing to say, I respect your position. And that's what this so-called minister was saying, that he would welcome pro-choice and pro-life supporters to the discussion with equal respect for their positions. Now, anybody who says that means they're for abortion. Can you imagine in Adolf Hitler's Germany that some pastor would stand up and say, well, look at this extermination of Jews in gas ovens. Obviously, we want a reduction in their extermination, but we really need to diffuse the killing of Jews as a political issue. We need to welcome pro-choice killing Jews and pro-life Jews to the discussion with equal respect for their positions. I mean, you don't have to go to Adolf Hitler's. Just go to United States of America. We need to really give equal respect for the position of the Ku Klux Klan as well as for the position of the majority of blacks in this country. What kind of nonsense is that? He spoke about how morally ambiguous the question was. It's just really amazing to me that when people want to go against the will of God, they start using all of this kind of language that sounds so nice. Well, it's morally ambiguous. I don't want to force my views upon you. Now, in other areas, such as a war in Iraq, capital punishment and poverty and HIV, they certainly don't mind forcing their views on you there. But you see, those things are more important because from their point of view, they don't think abortion is killing a child. They would never equate it, the killing of a Jewish baby in the womb with the killing of a Jewish baby who's 2 years old in the Nazi concentration camps. They would not equate that. And yet, that is exactly from God's point of view. I'm really not interested in other people's point of view as to what they're saying. I'm interested in what God says. Where God allows for open discussion, then we need to respect open discussion. But when God closes the door on discussion, then we need to close the door. I not only have no respect for the position, let's take another one, of homosexuals being able to be married, and I have no respect for anybody who would hold that position. Or am I missing something? Now, you can call me at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727 if I'm missing something when it says, well, we need to respect one another. No, we don't. I don't respect the position where it's clearly contrary to the will of God. And I don't respect the person. I think anybody who has that position is an individual who, as Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. And I really think we've lost our ability to use the law. Now, we need to be really careful here because I'm not giving the impression that I want to say, that I would say to somebody like this, oh, so you're for homosexual marriage? Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't say that to them right to their face. Because especially if they say it to you and they're open for a discussion, have a discussion with them. See, Jesus had a discussion with a woman at the Samaritan well. He did not desire to have a discussion with Peter. After Jesus said, well, we're going to Jerusalem, I'll be killed there, rise the third day. Oh, no, you won't, Peter says. Get thee behind me, Satan. Who are you to tempt God? I just said what's going to happen, Peter. I didn't give an option there. So at times we need to be strong with people, and I would be with this Anne Lamott, who, for one reason or another, and I'll have a few reasons why I think she believes the way she does, you know, 9 times out of 10, a really, really, really strong pro-choice position. means that the woman herself has gone through an abortion. And so for her to admit that an abortion is incorrect, that's a huge ego deflator. And most people just can't handle it. We're going to go to the phone lines right now. We'll start talking with Selena. Hi, Selena.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Very good.
That's good. People are changing the meanings of words again. Respecting an individual as a human being is one thing. Respecting their position on something is totally something else. It's just like the word tolerate. They talk about trying to tolerate people and being more tolerant. Well, tolerate just means that you put up with, not that you agree with. And so why do they think we have to respect their opinions if they're different than ours? All we have to do is respect their personhood and their right to have an opinion, and whether it's right or wrong opinion or not.
I really agree with you, because if you do not respect their right to say what they say, you'll never know what side of the fence they're on, and you won't know how to deal with them.
Right.
So that's an excellent point. Now, I'd like to ask you this. You say that tolerate just means that you're willing to put up with it. There are, therefore, a lot of areas where we would not even tolerate behavior. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, just so I understand what you're saying.
Right.
But I go ahead.
But people are... they're saying that we are supposed to tolerate, or we're intolerant if we don't agree with. And they're wanting, you know, and that's, we're wanting people to agree with everything we say. And if we don't agree with everything we say, then we are totally intolerant. And that's not really what intolerant means. Intolerant means that you just won't even put up with anything, you know?
Yes. I really appreciate those insights and also those distinctions. Thank you very much, Selena. You know, she is thinking, she's recognizing how language is being misused. I mean, people like to use the word fetus, for example, because they say, well, that's not a person. So I've always been saying now, well, the child in the womb, the human being in the womb, the person in the womb. Now, from a law gospel perspective, why is this all important to you? Where do we become intolerant? Where do we become disrespectful of a position? We can respect the right in the United States of somebody holding to any position they want, but we don't have to respect their position. And unfortunately, that's what this one Protestant pastor was trying to say. He said that we should welcome all people to the discussion with equal respect for their positions. Now, if that were not bad enough, you won't believe how Anne Lamont reacted to these two people who were really in her corner. She got almost as mad as them as she got at the man who asked the question. And that's what we'll be talking about when we get back from the break.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. How about a Sunday afternoon recipe of music and inspiration that'll boost you up? You'll hear artists like Steve Green, Sandy Patty, Twyla Paris, Stephen Curtis Chapman, many more. They will delight your musical palate and keep you coming back for more. Well, how about you? Won't you come back for just that? For more of Jubilation every Sunday beginning at 1:05 p.m. I'm Mark Hawkinson. Join me, won't you, on AM 850 KFUO.
We thank Reliable Heating and Cooling for being a corporate underwriter of AM 850 KFUO. Here's a few winter heating tips from Reliable. Don't let your furnace filters get dirty. Check the filters at least once a month, replace disposable filters, or clean the permanent ones whenever they do look dirty. Reliable Heating and Cooling performs routine maintenance, such as cleaning filters and humidifiers. 8463 Delport Drive, Reliable Heating and Cooling, 314-423-3535.
This is Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. If you've bought into the idea that using a condom means safe sex, think again. Condoms are no guarantee against pregnancy, AIDS, or other diseases. Here's my colleague, psychologist Dr. James Dobson, with some facts.
3-4% of all condoms sold have holes in them. Now, this is the manufacturer's statement. over the course of a year or two, eventually your number is going to come up. If you tell kids that they can count on these things, a higher percentage of them will believe that and be infected. So instead of reducing the incidence of the disease, you actually increase it because nobody they respect is recommending abstinence.
Studies show that parental involvement and conveying your values to your kids are significant in preventing early sexual activity. So mom and dad, ask questions, get to know your kids' friends, and insist on a reasonable curfew. For more on raising happy kids, go to family.org.
See Once Upon a Tree with a Friend and experience the last days of Jesus' life through an inspiring musical score, dance, and drama at Christ Memorial Lutheran Church. Based on the Gospel of Luke, Once Upon a Tree will be performed on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, February 21st through 23rd at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, February 24th at 2 p.m. Tickets at 314-631-0304. Christ Memorial Lutheran Church, 5252 South Lindbergh Boulevard, adjacent to Ronnie's Plaza. Witness Once Upon a Tree.
How should Christians consider the claims of liberal Bible scholarship, like the scholars who support the Da Vinci Code, or those who are members of the Jesus Seminar? On a recent edition of Issues Etc., Christian apologist and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery answered that question.
Jesus Seminar type of New Testament people are engaged in nothing but subjective impressions of a text. They're reading the text, and because they wouldn't have written it that way in terms of literary style and vocabulary and so forth, they assume that later editing has taken place. Listen, that's the reason God didn't choose religious liberals to write the New Testament.
Listen to Issues Etc. as we defend the faith and teach the truth every weekday afternoon from 3 to 6 on AM 850 KFUO.
Discovering Options needs adults 18 years and older who will commit to mentoring a fourth or fifth grader. Discovering Options is a St. Louis-based nonprofit organization that has developed after-school programs proven to prevent gang violence, drug and alcohol abuse, and promote healthy lifestyles. They provide unique mentor relationships for at-risk students in the St. Louis public schools. To make a difference in a child's life, visit www.discoveringoptions.org.
We're reading from Anne Lamott's new book, Grace Eventually, Thoughts on Faith, in a piece that she calls The Born, where she takes her pro-choice opinion to great lengths. But at this time, we're going to hear from someone else. This is a pro-choice individual responding to questions. We found it on YouTube, Gary did, and we're going to hear it right now.
Actually, Tom, it was found on a website called GodTube, which is a Christian website like YouTube. And I discovered this video yesterday morning prior to finding out that you were going to talk about abortion, so it fits in so well. And it is a pro-choice individual, and they're asking her questions about her beliefs. She's a pro-choice student. She starts off the video saying, if you think abortion is a bad thing, don't have one. But believe me, you can't tell me or anybody else what to do with my body. Now, this is outside. It is raining, and at times it's a little hard to... Here, I will maybe jump in and tell you what she's saying. It is closed caption. Later on tonight when you get home, folks, if you have a chance, go to GodTube and look at this video yourself. Here we go.
If you think abortion is a bad thing, don't have one. But believe me, you can't tell me or anybody else.
So do you think that you don't think it's like an issue of affecting another person's life?
What do you mean?
For example, like I can't go in and kill somebody, like I can't walk into the 7-Eleven right next door and just kill the clerk because I'm murdering him, right? So, and that would be wrong, right? So if I was to walk in.
She said, yeah.
What's the difference if it's another human being and it's in the womb? What's the difference between if you're killing it in the womb or if you're killing it inside of a 7-Eleven?
Well, okay, first of all, medical liability begins at 24 weeks. Before that, there's no contest.
What she said right there is, okay, first of all, medical liability begins at 24 weeks. Before that, there is no contest.
And see, abortion, killing, is not really an issue. The issue is that a living woman of childbearing age definitely has rights.
K- Killing is not really the issue, she says. The living woman of childbearing age definitely has the rights.
And I believe that you have nothing to say. Hey!
And I believe you have no right whatsoever to tell anybody else what to do with their body.
But you don't, it seems to me like what the people out there are saying is that you're affecting another human's life. Like, they're not trying to tell you, you know, what kind of underwear to wear or anything like that. What they're saying is that you're actually killing another human being. And are you saying that you don't agree it's another human being?
I agree it's another human being when it pops out of the lady.
I agree it's another human being when it pops out of the lady, is what she just said.
So all of a sudden it magically turns into a human being?
Yeah.
Even though there's babies?
Not everybody in this country is a Christian.
She believes, again, it's a baby when it pops out of the woman, and she says everybody's not a Christian here. And you cannot legislate ethics.
And you cannot legislate ethics. There is supposed to be a separation between church and state, and clearly that is not happening.
Well, yeah, it's true that not everybody's a Christian, but what would you say to people that say, like, we all as a society agree that it's wrong to go in and kill a clerk at 7-Eleven, right? Because it's fundamentally wrong. You're actually taking his life. So that's what possibly these people are saying, is that
confused.
There's a fundamental right that's being taken away from another human being.
That's what I'm saying.
And that they're not...
It's the same question I'm asking.
No, but, well, the reason I ask it again is because you said it's just a Christian belief. But these people...
And here she goes into this again, the medical liability within 24 weeks. And before that, there's no contest. So now listen.
Before that, there's no contest. Okay? Now listen. Some people believe it's a life in the moment conversion. Some people don't. But we have to be tolerant in this country.
That's the word you were talking about. We have to be tolerant in this country. And the next thing she says, and people who believe that they're against abortion should just not have one.
Cannot have an abortion. For the people who don't, it's up to them.
But what would you say about if it is actually taking another person's life, don't we need to be tolerant of their right to live?
So let them have babies. But you know, we also
no, I mean I mean the actual baby that's getting killed in the womb.
This is really making no sense.
She doesn't think it's making any sense what he's saying.
So you don't think it's another person that's getting killed in the womb?
No, I personally don't, but that's not even the issue.
But if they were to prove that it was a viable life, then you would change your mind on abortion?
No, I wouldn't.
Because you feel like a person should have a right to kill?
The woman's right is absolutely paramount.
So even to another human, but then if you apply that logic, couldn't you apply that to actually, if you were to say, okay, well, if you don't like your kid, then you can kill it when they're 1 year of age, because why is that?
When someone is an infant, this is what she's saying right now, when someone's an infant, it's not all right to kill them. When they're a fetus, and there's that fetus word, a woman's right surmounts the fetus right to live. And then she just says, we got to go. Again, the last thing she ended on, when somebody is an infant, it's not all right to kill them. But when they're a fetus... A woman's right surmounts the rights for the fetus to live.
And that was on GodTube.com. GodTube.com, GodTube.com. And I imagine this is a Christian area.
Christian website like YouTube, from what I understand from that.
Oh, okay. And so they have other items
other
on there.
Other videos too, yes.
There were two things that was really excellent, Gary, because two things that I've been trying to tell you here. Number one, did you notice how the person who was asking the questions did not accuse her of being a murderer? He didn't say, get thee behind me, Satan, and walk away from her. What he did, he kept asking questions. And it's one of the things we've been doing a lot of here on Law and Gospel. I'm absolutely convinced that the way to bring somebody into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, who already is a Christian, is to keep asking them questions in such a way that it will help them to see the wrongness of their position, because the Holy Spirit will move them to come around to a correct point of view. But if you could have heard, and of course we were watching the video, you can't do that on radio, but Gary was telling you what she did have to say. She said a couple of things that really was really critical, that a woman's right is absolutely paramount, even over the fetus within her. We need to understand that what we are talking about is what we've spoken about a lot here, namely that for those who are living under the law, their own views of morality are far more important than God, and they can really do whatever they want. She says you can't legislate ethics, and the question was a good one. Does that mean it's wrong to legislate the Christian view that it's a sin to commit murder? And she wouldn't answer those. Time and time again, in fact, I have found this in a lot of my conversations with people who don't agree with the Christian point of view, that finally they have to walk away. Because they'll say things like she was saying, this makes no sense, or I'm getting confused. And she'll come out with the ideas of separation between church and state, which is really quite ridiculous. Or even when she talked about what a birth was. Now, you just go to any mother and you say, well, how did it feel when it popped out of you, lady? I mean, even to use that kind of language shows how infectious the devil has gotten into this young woman. Me, me, me is all that is important. Our phone numbers here are 505-7850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Pastor Baker. Hi.
Good to hear from you.
Top of the day to you.
Yes, sir.
By
the way, are you going to be listening next hour?
I plan on it.
Okay, I'm going to respond to your email question.
Okay.
But go ahead.
My mind's whirling. The in conversations like that, the interview that you were, the recording that you were playing about,
yes,
what with the interview, the Holy Spirit was right there witnessing of the detestable sinfulness that we have, and we don't even see it.
Yes.
The amazing thing that's about the child in utero, whatever the word is for that.
Yeah, utero.
The child has a distinct and separate DNA. It doesn't have its mother's DNA exactly, nor its father. It has a unique DNA all of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And the human body is so marvelously constructed that it's a foreign object to the body, and the body naturally wants to reject. That's why we have to have anti-rejection drugs for transplants and such.
Mm-hmm.
That the nutrients that go from the mother to the child are exacted from the mother without compromising the foreign substance, which the body should throw out. And just that scientific principle designates, but God's Holy Spirit gives us the understanding what it is. It is a being.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point, Bill. I don't think I've ever heard that before, because that's certainly not true about any other part of the body.
Yeah, you can take a sample of the fetus.
Yes.
Which I call it the child, but you know what I mean by that.
Yeah.
And it even before it's even completely formed, you know, when it's just 5 or 10 or 20 cells old.
Mm-hmm.
Its DNA is its own. It's just as our fingerprints are our own. It's unique. And that argument, just from a scientific point of view, it's not even her body.
Now, she bought into the propaganda, namely that it has to be at least 24 weeks old. But,
yes,
of course, the question could have been, well, how about all of those abortions that are occurring after 24 weeks?
Yes.
And then she skipped over, well, no, it's got to pop out of the lady.
And for one more thing I would like to mentioned before I get off the phone is that a chiropractor friend of mine had made a statement that the human race is crying out for God to send us a cure for cancer and someone to bring about the end of all of the woes that we have. And he said, I responded to all of your cries to your prayers for that to me, and you aborted every one of them.
Yes.
Wow.
I've heard that before. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bill,
bye.
God bless. Some great points there. And we move on to Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi. It was interesting. You know, one of the people, you talk about ego, and that seems to be the thing that everybody who's pro-choice hangs their hat on. The interesting thing to ask a girl like that, because they always think it's just a female question, is that the baby that's in the womb, what if that baby's female? Aren't her rights to choose being violated also? So it gets to the point where the argument doesn't make any sense any way that you look at it for abortion.
No, you're absolutely right. There are some fine materials that our own church puts out, and that was one of them that was written in one of the books, namely that we agree with the decision that every woman has a right over her own body, including the woman in the womb.
Did you hear her, though? When she said that, she said a woman of childbearing age, I guess to counteract that next question, well, what if it's a female in the womb? She said a woman of childbearing age has the rights, is what this young lady said.
No, I missed that, Gary.
I didn't hear that either, but it just, it's taking, you know, so as the gentleman just mentioned here, you know, everything is programmed within the DNA of that person to grow, whether they're just been conceived all the way up to the point where they die. And the idea that you're breaking it at one point is doing the same thing. If you kill a person when they're after they're conceived, or when they're you push them down the stairs when they're 70 years old or something, you're still killing the same person.
Yes.
And I just don't. You know, the funny thing is that the public view of this abortion is actually more people believe that it is killing a person, and the number of abortions is going down. And the effort that people make to make pro-life arguments has worked and is working. And as you said, I think those are just great witnesses that people are making these points.
Thank you very much, Brian, for that. And you're absolutely correct. One of my former field workers, James Lamb, he is a field worker, means he's was a seminary assigned to my congregation for about 3 years. He is head of Lutherans for Life right now, and writes a lot of material, a lot of devotions, and these kinds of arguments that you just heard from Bill and Brian are contained in those materials. And so I would encourage anyone at all to get good pro-life material in order that we might have a way. Many people have changed their minds. I think I can count on one hand how many people I know who went from pro-life to pro-choice. I can only think of two right now. And that was in occurrences where either their daughter needed an abortion, and therefore, you know, in order to defend their egos, they had to suddenly now become a pro-choice person. And I can't even remember what the other situation was, but it's just so many other people have gone the other way. It's just common sense. If one takes a look at a woman who is pregnant, you don't say, well, how's your other head doing? You got a headache today? She said, what are you talking about? Well, you know, you got two heads, you got four arms now, you got four legs. If these are part of her body and not a distinct other individual, then, and nobody agrees with that. I have never met a pregnant woman who is going to have a birth and looking forward to it and does not think that that which is within her is a live human being person with rights and abilities. And fortunately, there are some laws now on the books in various states that if you're drunk driving a car and you crash into someone and kill both the mother and the, and she's pregnant, and the baby, you get more of a punishment because now you put two people to death. I think time is kind of on our side, except for one small little fact, and that's the Supreme Court of the United States, unfortunately, is the place where this is going to have to be decided. Because once they were able to find in the Constitution of the United States of America that, yeah, we've changed our mind on Indians, we're going to consider them true persons. Oh, we've now changed our mind on black people, we'll now consider them true persons. Unfortunately, we don't have the votes yet to change their mind on children in the womb to say that they are true persons. That's one of the huge reasons why elections are so important. And regardless of where you're standing, I'm not taking a position on either side, but the thing that really gets my goat is people who say, well, I'm going to stay home and not vote, so I hope the other side gets in, and in that way, then we'll have a much better chance of getting in or something along that line. That's just such self-interest involved there. The political realm, you just have to understand, is a realm of compromise. The political realm, the temporal realm, is not the Holy Christian Church. The rules are different there, in the sense that you are never, ever going to have a government that's going to be Christian in implementing Christian practice and doctrine. That's totally inappropriate, because God says, put away your sword. And that's the only way a government can implement law, by the sword. That means by the law. That means by hope or reward or fear of punishment. The church is not permitted to use those two motivations in getting someone to believe in Jesus Christ. There's only one way that we want people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the only way, and that's through hearing the word of God, preached in its purity and the sacraments administered rightly. And apart from that, nobody can ever be forced to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, out of self-interest, they can pretend they believe in him so they don't get their head chopped off or burned at the stake or some nonsense like that. But in reality, to say that the government needs to be Christian means that the law now becomes a means to make people Christian. And that is a view of the law that is totally unchristian. God never gave the law to produce Christians. The law produces good citizens, all of whom would go to hell, no matter how good they are, apart from faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, the government is set up to make laws, to create order, so the church is able in peace and quietness to distribute the message of Jesus Christ to one and all. And then the Holy Spirit works on the people who hear that message to create faith in the heart. It's not backwards. Well, we got off a little on the side there on the two kingdoms, but it was really that video that you heard the sound anyway, the audio over the radio, where she was saying we have to divide the distinction between church and state. Well, pro-life is not a church position in and of itself any more than thou shalt not murder is a church position. That's just an ethical position unless you believe in evolution. Now, if you believe in evolution, then she's right. Because any morality is an imposition of someone's religion. Because who are you to tell me, if evolution is correct, survival of the fittest, that your ethics are better than mine? Well, why would I ever want to be kind to the needy? Isn't it better just to get rid of the needy so they don't bother us so much? Well, why would I want to be kind to people who are not of my kind, either from my country or my race or my particular nationality? There's absolutely no reason apart from morality. And morality has two sources. Because God is king over the temporal realm as well as the spiritual realm's source for God's morality is his holy word. The temporal realm's source for God's morality is common sense and human reason. And so it is just commonsensical and human reason that anybody who is pregnant with a human being. But that's not what Anne Lamont thinks. Getting back to the conversation where she was in this debate, and of course they were all liberal-leaning people until this so-called fundamentalist Christian, perhaps in her mind, got up and said, why do you have such a progressive stance on peace and justice in light of the murder of a million babies every year in America? Well, the liberal Roman Catholic and the liberal Protestant preacher trying to answer in a way, talking about tolerance and this sort of thing, which, of course, they never would have said had we been dealing with Jews in Hitler's Germany. But of course, they lose their minds. In fact, she thought she lost her mind. The whole group up there had lost their minds, just like even Adam lost their minds when they really thought they could eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and be like God. So one of the things she said to the audience, she went on the attack. She says, I'm so confused about why we still have to argue with patriarchal sentimentality about minuscule zygotes. Z-Y-G-O-T-E-S. You know, that's before they even become a fetus. Notice what happens. For people like this to sustain their argument, they have to get you thinking that we're only talking about little cells that have no appearance or anything. That's why the pro-death movement has had a huge setback with the ability of doctors to show that a baby is really there in the womb. By various means, the parents can see that. And in fact, in countries where we're doing missionary work, Concordia Mission Society, we've obtained machines like that to show pregnant women that which is within them is truly a human being. It looks like a human being. It has arms and legs, a head, etc., etc. So how many abortions have been stopped when finally science catches up with ethics? Now, I mentioned that part of her problem was her background. And she admits, and even in the article, that she says, I have had my abortions and I have had a child. But as a Christian and a feminist, she writes, the most important message I can carry and fight for is the sacredness of each human life, and reproductive rights for all women are a crucial part. That makes no sense at all, folks, because the sacredness of each human life would include the babies she put to death. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks for listening to our first hour of Law and Gospel. And as indicated, if you would like to see that video, it's godtube.com. That's where Gary found it. And when we get back, we're going to be responding on new subjects with some of the emails. And one of them is from Bill. When we get back from the break, you can call me on subjects at 505-7850 or toll free 1-800-730-2727. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to the first hour of Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, February the 13th. And the woman I was quoting from is Anne Lamott, L-A-M-O-T-T, with her next probably New York Times bestseller, Grace Eventually, Thoughts on Faith. Stay with us through the break.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.